I think we're recording now because I can see all sorts of movement happening here.
I don't know how to work those things.
Look, there's time code going, so we're right. I'm going to the video so you can be heard clearly. If you look at those photos of Hanover Street, can you remember that streetscape?
Vaguely, I can remember some of the houses. I can remember that and that house.
The bluestone house.
Yeah, I remember those. I can remember those, which is once again, since that. All I can remember basically is that, because I wasn't there for Longrose, so before they became demolished, don't forget, the cottages became demolished.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What year did you move in again?
Came out in 1954, and I think in 1956 I moved into Fitzroy.
And you would have been about 8 then?
Yeah.
So, if these were
not... I was going to school that way because I was going to Sacred Heart to start off with, and so I went to the academy just a couple of years later. So I would have been walking up that way to get to school. Yeah.
So you would have been quite young when that was your environment.
Yeah. But the houses that stick in my mind are these houses, the big ones. You know,
yes.
I don't know why, whether it's because I fell in love with them or what on earth, what impact they had on me. But I do have a recollection that in between the big blue stones, in between the big mansions, there were little weatherboard cottages. And I didn't like those. So I paid very little attention to them. Right? And I think one of the reasons why I didn't like them was because we moved from North Melbourne, where we lived in a weatherboard house, right, cottage, and I actually liked that one, because I'm from the veranda, I could look over and see the bay. Had a view. But my father didn't like weatherboard houses. Why? Why?
You tell me.
If you owned a wooden house, you were poor. It was like living in a shed.
Things have changed.
I give up, okay?
Can you remember from that period would have been the 50s, say the late 50s, can you remember any of the people who lived in these houses?
No, because I wouldn't have associated, because I would forget who were further down.
Yes. Well, not necessarily these houses, but the houses that existed around your neighbourhood.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can remember the houses there now, right? So they haven't really moved or changed at all. Same except where the flats are now.
Ah, yes.
So I can remember on the corner of this sort of thing, William Street, where the flats are, there was this big, huge house. Is it here?
It may not be, but if...
No, it's not here.
I can try and get it for you. Corner of Fitzroy and King William.
Street.
Yep. Can you remember what architectural style it was?
I think this is it, Rosa.
Oh, right.
That's on the corner of King William. I think this is it.
That's amazing.
Okay. Mm. And it was huge. And I think this is it. It was an old hotel or something. It was all run down, not looked after. Who lived there?
I don't know. Who?
The Pierces.
Is that where the Pierces lived? Ah.
And?
Were they the only people who lived there, or
was it
a rooming house?
No. It's full of derelicts and drunks. Okay. I'm not even sure they paid rent. I don't know about that, okay? And the reason why I remember all this, I remember the place, I can still see it now, is because for some reason Ed Pierce hated me. Now, if you remember, now, if you walk down to King William Street, you'll see a little park there, right? Well, when I was a child, we used to have a monkey bar, merry-go-round, and a slide. Okay? And I was playing on the monkey bar. And, oh, I can't can't remember what she did to me, but she did something to me, right? She either whacked me.
Who?
And it appears. So I ran home crying, right? And I was told off by my father. So my father told me to fight, to learn to fight my own battles, right? And but she was a big girl, you know, she was big, she wasn't small. Anyway, then back out playing there again, a few weeks later, and she gets stuck into me again, right? And I said, no, my father, I can't go home crying anymore, so my father catches the crime, he's going to rob me, and he's actually going to be harder than you. So her cousin Jimmy, whose surname I don't recall, was there. And Jimmy was an attractive man, a bodgy, you know, he had the tie pants on, you know, the pink socks, okay? And he had a studded belt. So I said, Jimmy, take your belt off, please. Now, I'm all of 9 or 10 years old. He said, well, I just need it for a moment, please. So Jimmy did, took his belt off. Oh, I got stuck into her. And she never forgot it. Now, a few months later after that, I'm coming home from Mass one Sunday morning, and she's behind me, and she gets stuck into me again. So I said, I'm going to the police now. So I just turned around and walked to the police station. And she foolishly walked in behind me. So I started telling the police officer behind the desk what had happened, and she said, she's lying. And the police officer got his ruler and said, no, he said, if anyone in here is lying, it's you. Whack! He said to her. After that, Rosa, she never came near me again.
So it was a situation where you had to learn to fight your own battles and stick up for yourself.
Well, under the perks, every other child in the area, Rosa, we're all sent into the wogs. We all knew that I couldn't slap you because if I slapped you, you wouldn't sign my bubba, I'd cop it. Mm. Or Vicky Burke, if you did it to me. So we really weren't like that. We played together. The boys would play cricket, football, tennis. We'd have these little rackets, we'd play tennis. And it was, you know, I don't know what it was like up your end of town. But down here, Rosa, if we went and played in the streets, right, the parents actually used to take time to supervise us, right? So let's say from 8 to 10 would be my parents, from 10 to 12 would be your parents. So we're also under supervision. We couldn't really get up to mischief, right? And the only time we could get up to mischief was, you know, when we played in areas that weren't supervised. That's where we could get up to mischief. And the other thing also is that we couldn't get up to too much mischief, Rosa, because if we walked down Brunswick Street, there'd be coppers walking, two coppers one way, two coppers the other way. Do you remember that?
I certainly do, yes. Right? The police presence was always fairly visible.
Yeah. So, you know, if you did something wrong, I can remember boys, if they did something wrong, they saw the coppers, they'd run the other way. And what they didn't realise, Rosa, they were giving themselves dead set away, because then the coppers would realise that they'd gotten up to something. Right?
Yeah.
Remember here, used to be a picture theatre, the old picture theatre? Do you see the guy who used to be the manager here? Haven't you seen him? Where have you been?
I don't have as good a memory as you do, Rosemary, you know that.
Yeah, he's blind up because he walks around with a stick. If you're on his way, he just whacks you. And he did that to me once. You know, I said, you were nasty when I was young, you're still nasty.
Did you come to the pictures often?
Well, we used to be allowed to come every Saturday afternoon, right? Until TV came in. Then my father decided it was cheaper to buy a TV, but he could then watch it as well, than to pay for us to come to the flicks. So he bought the TV, and after that we were not allowed to come down here.
Did you get a television set fairly early?
Yeah.
Did the neighbours come and watch television at your place?
Yes. That's okay, we didn't mind sharing back then. It was a done thing.
It certainly was,
It was a done thing, yeah. And also back in those days, Rosa, Tab the mouse, Carl, can you please check? I don't know if you remember. But if you had to buy something from a shop, right, and you didn't have money to purchase but to leave your money, I just come down Brunswick Street and say, Andrew, I need to get some bread. My mother will pay tonight. Yes, she'll take it. You remember that? Okay? And on the corner of Moore Street and Brunswick Street, there used to be a little milk bar and Britannia's, but Tosin's. Right? We'd be in there all the time, buying stuff. Yep, take it. Then, you know, the parents paid later.
Were the shopkeepers all local? Did they live above the shop, or did they come in from... Can you remember any of that?
Well, the Tosins lived above the shop, and a vegetable, the fruit shop further up, lived above the shop here.
So they were all locals anyway. Yeah.
But also, they all knew each other.
Were these the people that your parents mixed with as well?
Well, with the Tosins, no, because... they were North Italians.
Yep.
Right, okay. With the Tucci's, yes, because Mr. Tucci and my mother were, they come from the same village and were somehow related. Cousins, whatever, I don't know. With Andrew, no, because it was Greek. With the fish shop, no, because they were Greek. But we all knew them.
You, the parents would stop and speak to each other in the street, I assume. Yeah. So there weren't any issues with nationality or...
As far as we're concerned, they were all migrants, and they all were working hard. And I think that's one of the reasons why they all turned to shop in these shops. Also, don't forget, back then we didn't have supermarkets, right?
Or cars,
so we had to walk everywhere, so we used to shop locally. Oh, well, no, we'd walk to the Vicky Market and do our shopping there. We'd walk into the city, not just a tram. But mostly around here, they're all eye-ties. And where the Lotta shop now is, Michelangelo was there. Do you remember him?
I certainly do. That's where we'd get our magazines.
Yeah.
Magazines from Italy. He was a lovely man.
He was a lovely man, yeah.
Very well educated.
Yes.
Yeah, there was also a shoe shop, an Italian shoe shop on Brunswick Street that sold kids' shoes.
Oh, Brunetti's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
There was
Brunswick Street a busier street then? Because I remember when I moved back in the 70s, a lot of the shops had closed down. It was just before the revival, you know, in the 80s. But most of the shops were either boarded up or empty. What was it like in the 50s and 60s?
Well, I was a child, right? So to me it was busy. And also I tried to avoid it because everyone knew my parents, and if I did something wrong, I'd be reported, you know. And also it was, in a way, Rosa, unless you had people, friends supervising you, it was quite a scary area. There were a lot of drunks around, right, and I used to absolutely freak out at the Standard Hotel, remember, by the clock closing. The Aussies would walk out and they'd pissed out of their heads, and they'd be punching each other. Okay? Moore Street, where it starts at Fitzroy Street, and Bell Street at Fitzroy Street, were all blocked off by police cars. And there were quite a number of police officers in that street. And I can distinctly remember one Saturday, I'm hanging over the front fence like that, and my father walked past, and it closed. He said, get inside, he said, before someone punches you in the face. So to run inside. And he was right, because they had already reached the corner of Moore and Fitzroy Street, and they were already into each other, Rosa. Already into each other. So if it wasn't for the fact that the WOGs supervised us, it wasn't as safe as people thought it was. We had to be extremely careful. And even walking to school, I've told you a story about me walking home from school. It was a Friday afternoon. Did I tell that story?
Yes, but tell me again.
And it had been raining, and I didn't stop to realise that because it was raining, my father would be home from work. And I'm walking around. The craziest things happen in those laneways. And I'm looking around, you know. I just saw a couple, a man and a woman, and a man was on top of the woman. I didn't know what was going on. I was only a kid, right? You know what was going on. So I kept walking, walking around. And I walked straight to my father's knees. And he grabbed me. He said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm coming down from school." Whack. My father very rarely smacked me. So I'm going to ask you the question again. He said, "What are you doing here?" So I just told you I'm coming down from school. Whack. So I'm going to ask you the question again. I said, "Well, I'm coming down from school." Whack. He said, "Look around and tell me what you see." I said, "No, I'm just you." That's precisely what I'm trying to tell you. He said, "You could have been assaulted, raped, molested, murdered." He said, "And no one would have seen a thing." He said, "Don't you ever walk down a laneway again on your own." To this day, I would. God.
When we move into the 60s, can you remember when the demolition was going on? What happened to the area once they started demolishing houses? Can you remember any impacts that it might have had?
Well, actually more people moved in because they've been house commission houses. I think they got them for almost nothing. Yeah. It's like what happened when they put up those house commission apartments. Suddenly got more people coming into the area. So what did they pay there? $45 a week or something?
What about during the actual demolition itself?
I wouldn't have remembered that because I would have walked up Moore Street.
Okay.
King William Street to go up to...
So you don't remember the noise or any disruption?
No, it would have shut down.
Yep.
But it wouldn't have been much disruption just because we didn't have cars. And anyway, even if we did have a car rise, we wouldn't be driving up to King William Street to see friends. We'd be walking up.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, no.
Or even Hanover Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't remember that having any impact, but you do remember lots of people moving in afterwards. Did it change the feel of the neighbourhood?
No, because a lot of the people who moved in, Rose, are either Italians or Greeks. It was still the same structure. Because don't forget, I mean, you must remember this, Rosa, I'll close the book.
Okay.
You must remember, Rosa, that the Aussies didn't think it was not a good neighbourhood. They didn't want to be here. Firstly, that was one of the reasons. The other reason, Rose, was the fact that this is where I get sometimes quite angry. Because they talk about the great Australian dream is to own your own home. We walks taught them that. Okay? So we walks were into owning your own home, not paying rent. They were renting all over the place. Now, I'm not talking about the more affluent suburbs. Not referring to that. I am referring though to suburbs like Fitzroy, North Melbourne, Carlton, okay? I mean, well, it's full of Italians and Greeks buying their own homes. Why? Because back then it was actually reasonably cheap. Right? I mean, what is that? £5,000 they paid for Swiss Street. My father and my aunt.
Can you remember what year that was?
In 54 I arrived, I was 6. It would have been either late 55, early 56, yeah. But £5,000 is a lot of money, right? When you're only earning £1 a week.
I know that in 1950 my father paid £1,400.
We were placed in Fitzroy. That's 1950, so we've been back
later. And lots more people in the area, yeah. Do you think that's why, because I remember people in Fitzroy being very house proud. Do you think that the reason is because they owned their houses, so they looked after them?
Well, I think that's part of the reason that they own their own home. And also, don't forget, Rosa, that the Southern Italians, the bulk of them, right, and they had brick homes, stone homes. And they've come from Italy where they probably had one room. It was all just a wooden shack. That's why. Or one room with no land. And in one room, a whole family had to live in there. You had to cook, eat, sleep, go to the toilet, wash yourself in one room. So I've got a clear reflection of doing that initially.
Mm.
Okay,
I'm still a bit scared of. I'm going to stop this, but I'm just stop this, but I'm just stop this, but. I'm